Hello, welcome once again to Leto's Law. I'm Steve Leto. Today we're talking about retail fraud or shoplifting. I did a story not too long ago about the guy who got arrested at the store when he was asked to show a receipt as he left and he refused, and then an altercation of some sort took place. The police were called and the man was eventually arrested. And if you saw the video and were confused, he was actually arrested for assault on the police officer and for resisting arrest. I believe he was arrested for both, but the story simply said he was charged with resisting arrest, but the assault was mentioned in passing in the story, and that assault obviously plays into the story. So that's that. But I had a lot of people ask me about shoplifting, and they said, well, Steve, once the guy gets in the parking lot, you can't stop him, right? It's not the case. And I've also had people say, well, if you're inside the store, they can't stop you either because you haven't tried to steal anything yet. And that's not true either. So there's a lot of misapprehension as to how shoplifting works in terms of the legal system. So I'm going to talk about shoplifting as it is in Michigan, but keep in mind that much of this is similar in other states. If you're that curious about it, you can look it up in your own state. It's very easy to do. What I'm talking about here in Michigan, like I said, is a great parallel because a lot of this stuff does in fact apply or at least look like what happens in other states. So just so you understand, the theft of something from somebody, depending on the value of the goods, is considered larceny. Okay, larceny. That's the big Venn diagram thing we're talking about here. The biggest thing here is larceny, the theft of something from somebody. So if I steal something from somebody, it's larceny. Okay. Now, shoplifting is a different kind of theft, but I simply want to explain this. So a person who commits larceny by stealing any of the following property of another person is guilty of a crime. And it lists things that you're not allowed to steal from each other. Money, goods, chattels, banknotes, promissory notes, due bills, book of accounts, deeds or writings, a receipt, release, or defeasance, a writ, process, or public record, and scrap metal. So pretty much that covers most everything. And if you get convicted of that, you can go to jail for 10 years or be fined $15,000, depending on the value of what you stole. And again, a lot of this stuff's going to hinge on the value of what you were stealing or attempting to steal or what you did steal. And there's going to be different fines and different penalties based on primarily the value of what it is you're doing and also whether you're a first offender or not. So that's important to keep in mind. So in Michigan, they call shoplifting retail fraud, okay? And it's a strange name because fraud often imagines a face-to-face interaction where you and I are talking about buying or selling something and I lie to you when I'm trying to sell you something and I lie to you about the goods and it tricks you into getting involved and buying it, that, you know, that could lead to fraud. And so retail fraud is different because you're not actually interfacing with somebody most of the time. It's usually just somebody walks in and steals something and tries to get out of the store with it. And so it does seem kind of odd to use fraud in that setting, except that they've always done that. So a person who does any of the following in a store or in its immediate vicinity is guilty of retail fraud. So immediate vicinity takes care of the parking lot. There are people who say, well, you know, once I get out the doors, it's mine, right? No. So the first thing that says here is while a store is open to the public, if you alter, transfer, remove, and replace, conceal, or otherwise misrepresent the price at which property is offered for sale with the intent not to pay for the property or to pay less than the price for which the property is for sale. So if you go into a store and mess with the price tags in an attempt to pay less for the item, that is a form of retail fraud, the same as shoplifting. And by the way, if you're convicted of shoplifting or retail fraud in the first degree, and again, this depends on the value of the goods, it's a $10,000 fine and possibly 5 years in prison. Now, one, I told you, is the price tag thing. Number two, while a store is open to the public, if you steal property of the store that is offered for sale, if it's valued at $1,000 or more, that's going to be retail fraud in the first degree. So simple theft of the item, retail fraud, first degree. Number three, with intent to defraud, obtains or attempts to obtain money or property from the store as a refund or exchange for property that is not paid for and belongs to the store. So the old receipt switcheroo. You get a receipt that matches an item in the store. You go into the store and you take the item off the shelf and you walk a long route around to customer service and go, I want to return this. I just bought it. And you didn't. That is the same as retail fraud in the first degree if it's $1,000 or more. And it doesn't matter if you didn't steal it in traditional sense, it's the same thing as shoplifting. So shoplifting, in Michigan at least, has those three primary categories. The people who do the price tag switching, the people that just steal stuff and walk out with it, or the people who walk in with a receipt and try to pull that. Now, I'd like to point out that the price tag switch is probably not as effective as it used to be because of the UPC codes and the scanners. People scan stuff. But there are still stores that use price tags, so be aware of that. And then there are a bunch of ways that this can escalate if it's not your first offense. But just so you know, retail fraud in the first degree is $1,000 or more. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff in a store that might not cost $1,000, but there are a lot of stores that do have stuff that's pricey like that. Second or third degree has pretty much the exact same offenses in terms of what you did, but the difference is whether or not the item taken or involved is less than $1,000, okay? So if it's less than $1,000, then it might be retail fraud in the second or third degree. And that's going to be a lesser offense in terms of how much time you spend in prison or what you pay to get out of it, but it's still going to be ugly, okay? And so those are the shoplifting things. And like I said, you know, I've had people say, well, Steve, if I'm in the store and they grab me and say, we think you're shoplifting, how could they possibly do that in the store? I haven't even walked past the checkout lines. And as an attorney, we think of hypotheticals all the time, and our hypotheticals are often unusual, but not unreal or unrealistic. And so, for instance, there are people who go into a store, and when no one's looking, they'll stuff things down their pants or underneath their top or in their pocket, depending how big the item is. And if a store security guard sees you looking about yourself and then quickly stuffing something down your pants, they can grab you for that and say, yeah, you're shoplifting. And now you might say, no, I simply carry things in my pants for convenience. Lionel Hutz might accept that and use that in court, but no other attorney would, okay? You're going to lose that one. So it's obvious that you're concealing it in your pants to steal it, okay? Now, the weird thing is I've heard people say, and I've seen this in the news before, where somebody's walking through a store and they've got a jacket with pockets on it and they're looking at different things and so on, and somewhere along the line they pick up something and decide to buy it, and they're walking around and they put it in their pocket while they're looking at other stuff. Now, store security could see that and go, okay, they just concealed something in their pocket. Now, the argument's going to be, but I just did that for a split second while I'm looking at something else. Now, could a store security guard nab you at that point? Well, they could. They could, and you could make the argument that I wasn't planning on stealing it, but that might be something that gets settled by a court. But I would, of course, suggest that the store security guard might want to just simply watch to see what that person does after that and see what they do. And so that's an interesting twist on that, I guess. But, you know, while I was looking into the shoplifting thing and realizing that most people misunderstand what shoplifting is, I came across a bunch of other different kinds of larceny that I was like, wow. Because, you know, generally speaking, they outlaw stuff because it's either a problem or it's a perceived potential problem. Or occasionally they just outlaw stuff because it's all the rage and who knows if anybody's ever actually going to do that. One of the things I discovered, though, was still on the books in Michigan is MCL 750.356B, as in boy, breaking and entering a coin-operated telephone. Now, there are still payphones out there. I've seen them, I know, recently. I'm trying to remember where. Most payphones, though, have gone the way of the dodo bird, except that the dodo bird wasn't smashed into oblivion by local hooligans before it was removed. But you'll often see where a payphone used to be, and there'll be a stand with maybe even the part of the box, but then there's a sad cable hanging off it that's been ripped out. But payphones used to be everywhere. I would have said ubiquitous, but I've used that word once already in the last few days. And, you know, in some small towns that used to be off of the cell phone grid, Copper Harbor, Michigan, for a while, had, you know, in fact, I think it still does, various payphones scattered about the place, because there wasn't cell phone coverage up there. And I still don't think there is. And so if you want to make a phone call out of Copper Harbor, you either have to get your phone near someplace where you can use a Wi-Fi and hope it works that way, or go to one of the payphones that's still there. But payphones are becoming more and more rare. but in fact, it is against the law. Any person who breaks or enters into any coin-operated telephone or coin device attached to or an integral part thereof for the purpose of stealing or unlawfully removing therefrom any money, regardless of the value, if in so doing such person breaks, tears, cuts, or otherwise damages any part of the telephone or any coin device attached to it, is guilty of a felony. So, you know, that's one of those things that I'm sure it was a problem back in the old days. Can't be that much of a problem nowadays. 750.358, larceny at a fire. And this is the kind of thing, and I'm sure it happens. I'm sure it's happened in the past, but it's despicable. But any person who shall commit the offense of larceny by stealing in any building that is on fire or by stealing any property removed in consequence of alarm caused by fire shall be guilty of a felony. So a house catches on fire. Everyone runs out of it. The firemen are trying to put it out. And you realize that, oh, by the way, they're down at this end of the house and the garage isn't on fire and there's some cool stuff in the garage. I'll just grab it while everyone's distracted. Yeah, it's a felony to do that. Larceny at a fire. Likewise, and you know, it's kind of funny because at common law, burglary was when you broke into a house that somebody was in. And many times they actually said, if you did it at night, that's burglary. So you break into an abode, someone's dwelling place. You broke into their dwelling place at night and stole something. That'd be burglary. And then people started going, well, what about during the day? What about if no one's home? What if it's their second home? What if I broke into the garage and the garage is detached? What if it's a building but not a home? You know, so sadly, they have to define all these things. So larceny. Any person who shall commit the crime of larceny by stealing in any dwelling house, house trailer, office, store, gasoline service station, shop, warehouse, mill, factory, hotel, school, barn, granary, ship, boat, vessel, church, house of worship, locker room, or any building used by the public shall be guilty of a felony. So they got you covered there, my friends. Don't do it. Another species of shoplifting that I hadn't gotten to just yet, but I'll cover it right now, is 750.360A. A person shall not do any of the following. Possess a laminated or coated bag or device that is intended to shield merchandise from detection by an electronic or magnetic theft detection device with the intent to commit or attempt to commit larceny. So you know that they often put those magnetic tags, especially in clothing, and you bring it up to the counter and you say, I'd like to buy this, and they pull out some weird device and they remove the tag from the clothing. And of course, you know that if that tag wasn't removed and that tag walked out the door, if everything works the way it should, an alarm goes off to indicate that, hey, merchandise is going out of the store that's still tagged. And that's a security device. So apparently, some people would get these specially coated or laminated bags that you could stuff things into and seal it up and walk that thing out through the detection devices. Well, it turns out that if you do that with the intent to commit or attempt to commit larceny, you are committing a felony. If you manufacture, sell, offer for sale, or distribute, or attempt to manufacture, sell, offer for sale, or distribute a laminated or coated bag, that is also against the law. You cannot possess a tool or device designed to allow the deactivation or removal of the theft detection device from any merchandise with the intent to use the tool or device to activate, blah, blah, blah. So if you walk into the store and you've got one of those things on you and you're planning on using it, it's against the law. You shall not manufacture, sell, offer for sale, or distribute the tool or device designed to allow the deactivation. So even just making these things and selling them, if they're going to be used for that purpose, and you do it with that knowledge, then you've committed a crime. And if you try to deactivate a theft detection device or remove a theft detection device from any merchandise, again, that's a crime. So it depends on how much of this you're trying to steal. If they can show it, it could be a misdemeanor if it's below 1,000. But if it's above, then it's going to be a felony. Finally, it's archaic, but it's on the books. 750.361, larceny or maliciously removing journal bearings or brasses from a train. No person shall steal or maliciously remove, take, change, add to, or take from in any manner, interfere with any journal bearings or brasses or any parts or attachments of any locomotive, tender, or car, or any fixture or attachment belonging to etc., etc. You can't steal parts from trains. If you do, you could be imprisoned for a year, maybe 2 years. And possession of parts of trains shall be evidence that you have done this and that it was done maliciously from a train. I looked around to see if there's such a law protecting Coopers if their staves were stolen, but apparently not, at least in Michigan. So that's the story with larceny in Michigan, specifically with shoplifting in Michigan. It's a little broader than most people think, but yeah, there's laws against that. Questions or comments, put them below. Otherwise, talk to you later.